Bienvenidos a Tierra Insurgente.
Ahla wa sahlan, marhaba, salamu alaykum a Tierra Insurgente. Welcome to Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard.
Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard es una alternativa a los medios convencionales de comunicación comprometidos a hablar de lo que no se habla. Insistimos, demandamos nuestro derecho a hablar y actuar y a construir un mundo basado en nuestro propio contexto, historia y experiencia. Estamos comprometidos con la libertad, autodeterminación, tierra, lucha, justicia, comunidad y con los derechos de la gente indígena y de todos los oprimidos a existir en nuestros propios términos y a defendernos en contra de cualquier forma de ocupación y opresión en la manera en que nosotros lo definamos. Estamos comprometidos a luchar en contra del silencio y la ceguera, y estamos comprometidos a la gente y comunidades a hablar y a actuar por nosotros mismos.
Tierra Insurgente Intifada al-Ard is an alternative to conventional media committed to speaking what is not spoken. We insist and demand our right to speak and act and to construct a world based on our context, history and experience. We are committed to freedom, self-determination, land, struggle, justice, community, and the rights of indigenous people to exist on our own terms and to defend ourselves against all forms of occupation and oppression in ways that we define. We are committed to struggling against silence and sleep and to people and communities speaking and acting for ourselves.
Sahar Francis, a lawyer working with Ad-Damir organization working with Palestinian political prisoners and other Arab prisoners inside the Israeli jails and the prisons under the Palestinian Authority also.
Akram Al-Isa, I'm currently a researcher in social economy, but I'm here in this speaking tour to speak about my experience in the Israeli prison. Especially in the years 1976 up to the year 1990, and to put it in the context, what's happening these days in the Palestinian, on the Israeli's prison. What I could add to this, that I believe that this tour is quite important, because not a lot of people all over the world, especially in the United States, knows quite a lot about what's happening to Palestinian political prisoners. There are quite a lot of people, and it's deserved from the international community, especially in the United States, to know more, and I believe that it could affect what's happening down in our country.
Tell us a little bit about why you're here in the United States.
Like, we're doing a speaking tour about the issue of the Palestinian prisoners. This tour was sponsored by Sumud. This is a group supporting the Palestinian prisoners based in Toronto and with the Ad-Damir organization. And we're, like, trying to educate more about the Palestinian political prisoners issue and trying to get in contact with different community who knows about the situation of political prisoners in different regions also. And this is why we choose the United States, because of the issues here in the United States and with the different communities who living in the United States and who were suffering from being in prison out of political reasons or their struggle for dignity and freedom. And we started this tour in New York, we moved to Chicago and also Washington, Detroit. Now we are in San Francisco. We're going to Los Angeles and we are continuing in Toronto and Montreal.
Can you both give us a sense and an overview of the current status of Palestinian political prisoners at this time?
Now we have like something around 7,500. 8,000 political prisoners, 119 of them are women, 344 are juveniles, and 750 are administrative detainees. All of the prisoners are located in prisons inside Israel. Some of them are in central prisons, like the prisons under the authority of the police, and three military camps. The situation of the prisoners are bad, and it's getting worse all the last 4 years because the situation outside, the political conflict, the conflict actually affects mostly the situation of the prisoners inside the prison. They are suffering from lots of violations of their human rights. It's daily happening. The police attacks them, and they could attack them with gas, with water. They could isolate them. They could, while they made the searches, the daily searches in their rooms, they have clashes between them and between the prisoners. The juveniles are also suffering from the same conditions. Also the women, they don't get privileges because they are juveniles or they are women. And now we have, as in Domir, we have a campaign for a woman called Manal Ghanem. She's 29 years old. She was sentenced for 50 months. She delivered her baby before 1 year and a half in the prison, and the baby wasn't getting any good treatment or any special treatment because he's a baby. Like, he was attacked with his mother in the same attacks that the he was attacked by gas, by water, and they didn't treat the mother or the baby as a special case. And she has a thalassemia. Her son outside the jail, 7 years old, he also is thalassemic. And we ask people to share in the campaign, sending letter through Ad-Damir or directly to the Israeli government to release Manal Ghanem.
Akram, what is your personal experience of being a political prisoner, a Palestinian political prisoner?
Hey, I'm at least to be a political prisoner in Palestine will be, of course, as a lot of thousands of Palestinians. And I'm here. I'm quite lucky that I succeed or I have the chance to speak to the people in the United States about the Palestinian prisoners, how they are living. And I'm sure there is a lot of stories in the Palestinian prisons and between the Palestinian people about that time and their life to be in prison. I myself, the first time I've been arrested, it was 1975, while I was 15 years old. So when I'm hearing about children being in the prison, so it looks like that it's part of the conflict, part to resist against the occupation. All the time, they have been, the Israelis have been arresting children. So it's not changed, and even the international society do not succeed to stop Israelis in arresting Palestinian children. That's
also because it's against international law to
yes.
to do this against children.
Yeah, and all the time we have been hearing, even from the Red Cross and from different human rights organizations, that it's forbidden for any occupiers to arrest children less than 18 years old. But you will find the prisoners in the Palestinian, in the Israeli prisons, they are even less than 15. And there is different cases. So being in a prison, it's part of the political conflict itself. The second important thing is that even if the Israelis sometimes said, okay, fine, we have militant people, but also we have a lot of Palestinian prisoners, they are not militant, and they are in the prison as administrative detainee prisoners. So what kind of argument do they use against that? Using an old British law, which was imposed both in Israelis and Palestinians. Before 1948, even Yitzhak Shamir himself was wanted because they want to put him in the prison. And these days, they are using the same law against the Palestinian. And this, I myself spent 3 years and a half and 2 years and a half and under town arrest, 3 years and a half as administrative detainee, and the only thing I know that I am risk to and threat to the security, and they have to keep me, and I'm political activist, and they have to keep me in the prison. This is the way, no trial, no charge, and they still continue to work on the same the same law until these days. So, but these days, maybe the people have more chance to speak loudly everywhere to raise the awareness about what's happening. And I feel that I personally have a commitment towards the prisoners. This is why I participate in this tour, to raise the awareness, to educate the people more about, especially I have been passed and have been through and suffered from such experience.
It's been noted in the international community that Israel is the only country that has sanctioned torture. And can you comment on this based on the work that Ademir has been doing? In your opinion about that, is it true?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the Israelis were using torture since the beginning of the occupation in 67 against the Palestinian prisoners. They started with using very severe physical torture, different kinds of tying, of beatings, of sometimes sexual abuse, or it could get to rape by sticks and bottles, and putting them in different positions for long, long time, kicking the prisoners with needles and sensitive places in their bodies. Really, some prisoners, some people who were under interrogation died out of using the torture against them. Through the years, in 87, they get a government committee, special committee. They called it Landau Committee. And this committee get up with a report in the two sections of the report. The first one that they announced, published for the public, it was talking about using moderate physical pressure and moderate psychological pressure. And by this, they give the authorization for the interrogators to use the torture and not to be asked after that, not to be trailed for using torture. And they keep use this permission by the Landau Committee. They were extending the permission every 3 months in the government. And they were like, till the 90s, the 99 actually, when the Supreme Court of Israel decided that these are illegal ways of torture. But yet, in the court decision, it wasn't written that this is a torture, and they didn't say that in ticking bomb cases that it couldn't be used. They left the door open for the interrogators to use the torture in the ticking bomb cases and still to have the protection of the necessity in the criminal law, so they cannot be sued after that. And in these years, most of the Palestinian prisoners were subjected of torture. Like more than 90% of the Palestinians were subjected of torture, of different kind of tying, what we call in Arabic الشبح, for the small chair with the sack on your hand. The shaking, that was the most serious. The sleep deprivation, of course, and the shaking, that was the most serious one. Abd al-Samad Hrizat in 95 died out of the shaking. It was like very damaging for the neck, for his brain, and all the different kinds of the tyings to the tables, the cold shower, the using the air condition, and putting them in the isolation. Now they are developing, after the decision of the Supreme Court, they are developing more psychological way of torture, using the isolation, the forbidding from meeting the lawyers for a long time, threatening them that they are going to assassinate their family members or demolish their houses, arrest their mothers or their sisters, bringing them to the interrogation, the collaborators' room that they are sending them to. So it's kind of way to manipulate the court decision, to bypass the court decision. And of course, after the High Court decision in 99, a group of Knesset members, they submitted a law to the Knesset saying that the security service has the right to use torture whenever we are talking with Palestinian political prisoners with security cases, and it passed the first hearing in the Knesset. And we are lucky, like, till now it didn't pass, but it obviously, whenever they want, this law can pass, and they would be the first country in the world to legitimize torture, to do it by law. This is actually the situation now. And actually, another issue that they are using the torture, all the different kinds of beatings, of kicking, of humiliation and ill-treatment before bringing the prisoners to the interrogation. Like in the period between the first moment of the arrest through all the way to the interrogation center or to the detention center. And this is why, like, the soldiers, they can torture you, but still you cannot sue them because they are not interrogators. Mm-hmm. Like, the high court decision doesn't apply for them.
Akram, this may not be an easy question. So what was your experience as a political prisoner? I mean, obviously you were tortured. Do you feel that you can address some of your experiences when you were in prison around the torture issue?
To be in a prison itself, it's a torture. And I've been experienced at different times, but and there's many difficult parts of it. But the two main difficult parts was in 1982, and the second difficult part, it was in 1988. In 1982, I was arrested. Of course, at midnight from my house. And I was the eldest of my family. And I remember what's happened at home after they search, how they cover my head, and what kind of impact and reflection happened at home, which while they start to beat me, when they arrest me, affected my brother. So they start the process since they put me in the military, the military car. They start to torture from that point, wrestling with their legs and cuffed me for quite a long time. Start until midnight, and they took me to Bethlehem, and from Bethlehem to Russian compound in Jerusalem. And they didn't ask me any question at all, just take me. And it was on the 17th of May 1982, and it was quite chilly and cold. And I have just a shirt. They cut the shirt my hand was cuffed, so I felt all the cold, and it's affected my stomach later. So I was nearly have diarrhea, and I cannot go to the toilet. And even I have been being on myself, because I'm not allowed to go to the toilet. And then they start the interrogation itself, questioning me. And I remember one of the stories, how much I was losing consciousness, but have nightmare while I'm really want to sleep, but no way to sleep, because I was standing and hanged, cuffed by a water pipe near the wall. So you cannot sit down, and you have... Each time I will fall asleep, but it's my hand have been hurting me. And I remember something that we have a teacher in the university called Brother Paul. And Brother Paul, American priest, teaching at Bethlehem University, he gave us a lot of homework and sending us all the time to the university library. And I thought that he's the one who's punishing me. When I thought about the issue later, it means how much I've been under the pressure, even losing sometimes what's happening to me. Am I questioning or am I punished by the Brother Ball?
Losing reality.
Losing reality, this exactly. And losing reality, it comes after sleeping deprivation and after cold showers. Cold showers, it was the most horrible things, because not only the cold shower, but after the cold shower, they put you handcuffed in front of air condition. And I later on, I spent about 65 days in the prison, in a cell, by myself alone, only with all the testimony and Quran, and I've been just looking from a small window to the birds. This is one. A second one, it was more also terrifying. It's happened in 1988, at the first beginning of the Intifada, when they arrested us, a lot of people, and from Beit Hamed took us to the Hurriya Center, detention center, just beating. And it comes with the time they want to break the arms and the bones of the Palestinian to not allow them strong stone. Some people believe that we have been doing militant things, but I'm from my own self. I'm a student movement. I was elected as a president of the student senate, active in that. Of course, I was part of the resistance against the occupation, and I believe the international law give us the right to resist, especially when you've been humiliated and been living in bad condition, and you feel the settlement growing up. We have to act, and what we act as students, that we create and organize demonstration, and it's ended to be a political prisoner. There is a lot, and a lot, something even not affecting yourself. You'll be by being in the prison, you have also punished your family, like the suffer of. I have a boy born while I was in the prison. Even my wife just spent nearly 8 months of her pregnancy when I was alone, and this is. This is her story. I'm sure there's a lot of hundreds of stories for Palestine, and even more difficult than this. This could be considered a simple story.
Well, then let me ask the question. What purpose do you think the political prisoner system that the Israelis use, what purpose does it serve? Why are they doing this?
It's obvious, like, from the number of the prisoners they were arresting through the years since the beginning of the occupation, more than 600,000 Palestinians were arrested. It's 40% of the Palestinian community getting this procedure of the humiliation, the ill-treatment, the torture, the violations of their basic rights, like putting them, especially in the interrogation, while they treat you in so inhumane thing that after a while you would feel yourself like you are not a human being, smelling yourself awfully because you are not changing your underwear, eating in the bathroom, having your three meals, a small meal, and it's like it's not a food. You cannot see what is there, and eating it in a bathroom, it's very humiliating. So I believe it was a policy to like broke the soul of the Palestinian people, to even send them a very powerful message that if you're gonna resist the occupation, this is how you will end up. This is how will you lose your life by spending it in these places, in the detention center, in the interrogation centers, and in the prisons. So it's one policy of the occupation beside all the other ways of house demolitions, land confiscations, the settlements, the wall now, and all the serious things they are causing to the Palestinian community. The imprisonment is one part of this big system.
It's not about security. It's not about getting information. It's really, from your analysis, it's about psychologically creating an atmosphere to try to get Palestinians to submit to occupation.
Yeah, of course, and the punishment for the Palestinians because they are resisting the occupation. Like, if it was really security, so why they didn't make the borders in the green line since the 67? Like, let the Palestinians live, or through Oslo, why they didn't agree in Oslo to make the borders and let the Palestinians live in their place and us in our place? That's the most secure thing for the Israelis in my eyes, like why they are attacking the Palestinians, why they are coming to the Palestinian cities, why they are using actually the administrative detention. Like somebody, if we are talking about prisoners who were convicted, if doing acts, okay, I can understand that it's related to security issues sometimes. But we are talking about a policy that they were using in the administrative detention cases, like when they were arresting thousands of people in administrative detention, putting them in, according to administrative order, secret files without any charge, it's not related to the security. When you are arresting minors, when you are arresting women in administrative detention, when you are arresting people who are 45 or 55, 55 or 60. Sometimes we have administrative detainees who are 64 years old. This is just because of their way of thinking, their ideology in their life, their aim to resist the occupation even by their talks. And this is why they are sitting there. Sometimes they are arresting teachers. They are arresting, like, social workers. They are arresting different categories of the people in the Palestinian community. So if you look at the whole picture, you can tell that they are using this in order to affect the Palestinian community, also not to rebuild themselves, not to help, like, in rebuilding the Palestinian life after all these of suffering.
It's one thing to rebuild a home. It's another thing to rebuild your spirit and your soul and your mind, which is what you're saying is what they're trying to destroy. Akram, what do you think? What's your analysis?
After the former Intifada, some Palestinian intellectual, unfortunately some intellectual, believe that the people get tired. It's happened there, and they said, okay, and especially when Oslo comes. But the facts said that if the Palestinians didn't take their rights, and if there's some generation or a half of generation get teared, this is not the meaning that the second generation will be teared. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happened these days in Palestine. Confirmed that if no solution for political issues, the Palestinian will be keep resisting until they take their rights, and this is it's a result that the Israelis, even after they agreed with the Palestinian about Oslo, I don't want to argue here if it's also good or also as good as another issue. Even they don't fulfill what they agreed on in Oslo. So the Palestinian comes back and resists again. Because when you see that more settlements, more land confiscation, so you will feel that the occupiers want to continue. Then another generation woke up again and start resist. Mm-hmm. So the prisoners' issue is a result of occupation. If the occupation is there, the prisoner will be there. But what's it's good these days that the Palestinians understand the mechanism that we have to deal not only with the right of retain and land and independency, but also we have to deal with the prisoners' issue. But the Israelis try to keep the things for prisoners as a tool to do more pressure on the Palestinian political leaders, will release some people, just get calm. And even they are not releasing people.
So is it your opinion that the torture and the techniques of the occupation have broken the will of Palestinians to resist? Do you believe that it's working?
It's clear from the facts that the Palestinians, even if that torture was in the early 70s extremely difficult. And in the 80s, they kept using and they developed their own techniques, what you call using the high-tech torture. Mm. And these days, also, they kept using the torture. I think the Palestinians believe that they have a right and they want to go for a just peace. So the torture problem will not, even if they keep using it, will not stop. It just will help us to destroy the image. And I hope that the American people, especially after their experience in Abu Ghraib, understand how much could affect the people when they do torturing for the people.
Well, when I spoke with some Palestinian prisoners, political prisoners, and they said, well, when we saw the pictures of Abu Ghraib, they said, well, we've had 56 years of Abu Ghraib, so this is not a new thing. And it's just ironic that we know from our research that Israeli intelligence was involved in creating the situation of Abu Ghraib. So the similarities are not random similarities between Palestinian political prisoner situation and what happened in Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, it could be. Like, and it was very obvious seeing all these scenes in the TV. Sometimes we were confused. Is it happening in Iraq or in the West Bank? And the ironic thing that the Palestinians were saying for years and years and years that the Israelis are torturing us and nobody was listening. Like, all the reports about the torture were there in front of the United Nation through the different kinds of the committees for the human rights and all the violations of the Israelis. We were reporting every year about the torture cases, about what the Israelis were doing for the Palestinians, and unfortunately it was just reported there in the books, in the organizations, in the international organizations and the United Nations, and like it didn't ever never get to be such a big issue like what happened in Abu Ghraib. It's just shows like people would be like more influenced if they see the images. Maybe because we don't have like so powerful images about the Palestinian torture from the Israelis prisons, and the Israelis were clever through the years to develop different kinds of torture that they will never leave marks on your body. So when you will be released, you cannot like show people how severe you were, you would be tortured. And yeah, obviously, I think.
Let me ask an obvious question. What is your analysis or your opinion as to why the international community and the world allows Israel to continue this systematic torture and destruction of Palestine and of Palestinians? Why?
It's one part of the occupation. Like the first problem that the international community, allowing Israel to be an occupying power for more than 37 years. So this is why they are agreeing about all the violations that the Israelis are doing. The first big violation is the occupation itself. And I would believe like in the political arena now, because it's not in the interest, it's like there's no interest for any big country, the United States and either the European countries, to end this conflict. It's not affecting directly their interests in the Middle East. Like, if not, we are not a rich country. There's no oil there. There's no very big serious issues that they would worry about if we keep the conflict between the two sides. So this is why I believe that they are not interested in solving it. And from the other side, it was their project from the beginning, having Israel as a colonized power there in the Middle East. So they will protect this project, not the opposite.
Akram, what do you think?
I'm thinking that we are paying the price instead of Europe and the United States. Even if they get the support, but we are not only the victim of the Israelis, we are the victim of the international society. And some of them, I don't want to speak about the colonialism and how much it's affected the whole Middle East, but I will take it that from two dimensions. The first dimension, the Jewish lobbying to keep them Israel and without touching it, and the other side, especially not only in the United States but also in Europe, that they keep remembering what's happened to the Jew people in the at the beginning of this century, and they doesn't care about what the Israelis is doing for others, which is hurting us a lot. If you are caring about a human being, of course we agree that Jewish people is they are a human being, and I feel solidarity with what's happening to them. But how the European and the American agree and accept that the Jewish people could create and victimize the others. This is until now I didn't find a proper interpretation for it, unless that the Jewish lobbying to keep and doesn't care about the others, if the others suffer or not, it's not a problem until it comes and touch them as human being. And I believe that from this tour we could affect, I don't know how much, but it's good to be patient and work with the people and to speak with them more about what's happening, how the people suffer, because it's to be under occupation. Just the occupation itself, it's a torture. Not a torture towards one single person, a torture towards a people.
So everybody's a political prisoner in
yes.
Palestine.
Definitely, after building this wall, like they are doing the West Bank. Since 1993, actually, they made Gaza a big prison when they put the fence surrounding all Gaza Strip. And now they are doing it in the West Bank by this wall. Like, already Qalqilia is a big prison, and all the other cities in the coming few months, yeah, it would be totally circled by the wall. And there's no freedom of movement for the Palestinians there. So people are living in a very big prison.
Yeah. Anything that you'd like to say to the average American who might be listening to our broadcast today, our interviews? What message would you like to convey to the American public as Palestinians about what's happening in Palestine right now?
I think just open websites for different international NGOs and look to that way they are building the bypass roads and how they are closing West Bank cities and Gaza, and look to the wall and judge it. Just feel independent. Just they have the feeling to be independent and think what's going happen there. It's apartheid or not. That's all.
I think I would say to them that we need a justice, peace, and like in a very coming soon time. And I believe that change in the world should be coming from the people in different countries. And I would say that the Americans have the power to affect their government and to be aware about what's the mistakes that this government is doing and what the mislead that they are taking the people for. Like, we are victims of the violations of the Israeli occupation. We are not terrorists, and like we need this dignity and our freedom. And I believe, like, just through the pressure on the Israeli side, we can get to the point that the Israelis will accept to give us our basic rights. And the pressure, I mean by pressure, that by cutting Israel, the divestment, taking the model of the South African model and do it the same, because just the outside pressure will affect the Israelis in their daily life, that they will open their eyes and see what their own people, what their own soldiers are doing for the other side in this conflict. Just by this, we can change the situation there.
I don't think we're tired of resisting. I think the Israelis are beginning to get tired of being occupiers. If people want more information about Palestinian prisoners, where can they go?
The Mira and Samud, and there is other four. Maybe Sahar told can say more.
Okay. Where can they get more information?
The website of Ad-Damir, it's addamer.org. And Samud also, it's Sumoud. You can get all the information about the political prisoners there.
We're very honored and fortunate to have these two courageous and very dignified Palestinians with us today. And we encourage our listeners to go out and get in more information about the status of Palestinian political prisoners at the websites we've just mentioned, and additionally to put Palestine in the larger context that it appears from the interview today, all Palestinians are political prisoners. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Buenas noches, bienvenidos nuevamente a Tierra Insurgente. Acabamos de escuchar una entrevista dada por dos compañeros palestinos que se llevó a cabo hace algunas semanas. Esos compañeros vinieron a hacer un tour a lo largo de Estados Unidos y Canadá para hablar sobre la situación de prisioneros políticos en Palestina. El nombre del compañero es Akram y la compañera es Sahar, y Akram es un ex prisionero político en prisiones israelíes. Y comenzaron hablando sobre la importancia de hacer este tour por los Estados Unidos y Canadá, hablando sobre el tema de los prisioneros políticos en Palestina, puesto que es un tema que no sale mucho a la luz, como bien sabemos en nuestros queridos medios convencionales de comunicación, ni muchas veces en los medios alternativos. Entonces aquí hemos tenido sus voces para darles un espacio a hablar y contar su propia historia y lo que se está viviendo en Palestina ocupada. Actualmente, quiero dar unos pequeños datos que, bueno, no es ni tan pequeños, unos datos acerca de la población penal en prisiones israelíes que los compañeros fueron tan gentiles de proveernos. Alrededor de 7.500 prisioneros políticos se encuentran detenidos en prisiones israelitas, de las cuales 119 son mujeres, 344 son jóvenes y 750 son detenidos administrativos, como los llaman. Todos están detenidos dentro de Israel, algunos bajo la autoridad de la policía y dentro de tres bases o campos militares. La situación de los prisioneros políticos en Palestina es, de más decir que es mala, es pésima y ha estado empeorando a lo largo de los últimos 4 años debido a la situación del conflicto político. Dicho conflicto afecta principalmente las condiciones de los prisioneros, que sufren constantes violaciones de sus derechos humanos. Diariamente viven ataques por parte de las policías, estos utilizando gas, agua, aislamiento, mientras hacen los chequeos en las habitaciones. Hay confrontaciones entre los oficiales y los prisioneros, lo cual ocasiona heridos permanentemente a lo largo del tiempo de estos en prisión, y tomando en cuenta la cantidad de prisioneros que se encuentran dentro de estas prisiones, no podemos dar por entendido que son solamente unos poquitos los que resultan heridos, lastimados o quién sabe hasta muertos por la tortura y los ataques y violaciones a los que son sometidos. Los jóvenes y las mujeres presas también sufren las mismas condiciones, las mismas violaciones, y no hay ningún privilegio por su condición de género o de edad. Actualmente se está llevando una campaña para una mujer de 29 años que tuvo a su bebé en la cárcel, y dicho bebé sufrió cruel tratamiento, siendo atacado con su madre con gas y agua. Eso nos puede dar una pequeña señal de cómo es que los israelitas no tienen ninguna consideración por la vida humana y se atreven a llamar a los palestinos terroristas cuando son ellos los que no dudan ni titubean por un segundo cuando se trata de dañar la vida de un recién nacido y su madre. Akram es uno de los tantos cientos de palestinos presos en prisiones israelitas. Su caso para nosotros no es en absoluto una manera de pretender hacer ver el tema de presos políticos como casos únicos. Akram con coraje ha venido a los Estados Unidos en este tour a relatar su historia y experiencias, representando con su rostro y su voz a miles de compañeros que, como él, han enfrentado la crueldad, barbarie y opresión de vivir bajo ocupación. Y decidiendo resistir su condición, se convirtió en un prisionero político entre tantos que han corrido la misma experiencia. Fue detenido por primera vez en el 75 a los 15 años. Cuando escuchó acerca de los jóvenes que están en prisión, pensó que tiene que ver con el hecho de que estos jóvenes resisten a la ocupación y forman parte del conflicto. Entonces los israelitas los arrestan, desde siempre lo han hecho, dice Akram. La ley internacional prohíbe hacer esto a los niños, sin embargo acabamos de escuchar el caso de esta mujer que desgraciadamente tuvo que ver pasar a su niño de meses de nacido por esta situación tan cruel y violenta a los que estos soldados los someten a todos los prisioneros sin distinción alguna. Akram, siendo activista político, no recibió ningún cargo presentado, estuvo 8 años y medio preso sin justificación alguna, y esto es, como ya mencionaba, no un caso único. La mayoría de palestinos que se encuentran en prisiones israelitas se encuentran ahí sin ningún cargo, sin ninguna explicación alguna de por qué es que están ahí, y no solamente eso, sino que son negados de la posibilidad de tener un abogado, representación legal o información acerca de su caso o la razón por la que se encuentran detenidos. Por lo mismo, no se encuentran en calidad de recibir visitas de sus familiares o de ninguna persona que pueda ayudarlos desde el exterior. Ahora que hay las posibilidades para hablar más fuerte, debemos utilizar todos los medios posibles para levantar la conciencia acerca del tema de los presos políticos. Es ahí donde está mi compromiso. Estas son palabras de un preso político de Palestina. No debemos olvidarlas. Ahora que podemos hablar y tenemos conciencia al respecto, levantemos nuestra voz, levantemos nuestros puños y mantengamos el tema de los presos políticos, no solamente en Palestina, pero aquí también en la panza de la bestia y alrededor del mundo, como uno de los temas más importantes que debamos traer a la luz y por los cuales debemos luchar.
That was from a incredible album called Tabla Beat Science, and that's from the second track of the first disc called Sacred Channel.
De todo el mundo, les pedimos que mantengan su lucha y sigan luchando todo el tiempo que sea necesario, porque nosotros los zapatistas no los vamos a traicionar jamás a todos los luchadores políticos y sociales de todo el mundo. Y para luchar en el mundo no pediremos permiso a nadie, mucho menos aceptar que los gobiernos nos digan qué es lo que debemos hacer o qué es lo que vamos a decir. Pero es un hecho que apoyamos todos los luchadores sociales y políticos en todo el mundo, porque tenemos esperanza que todas las luchas en el mundo vamos a ganar, porque nuestras demandas son justas.
Acabamos de escuchar una canción titulada Juan Sin Tierra, de la autoría de Víctor Jara, interpretada por voces del sureste mexicano, acompañada con un pequeño testimonio también por la voz de un compañero desde las montañas del sureste, del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, que vive el EZLN.
Gracias, compañera. We're coming to the close of our show tonight on Tierra Insurgente Intifada del Ard 103.3. Sunday evening, this is an important day in the world right now. We want to send out a solidarity message to all workers of the world. This is May 1st. It's an important day today. It's May Day, which is an international day of solidarity with all working people all over the world. So we're sending a strong message of solidarity to all workers of the world, wherever they may be, under the pressure, under economic pressure, under political pressure, to the workers who are fighting not only economic pressures in Iraq and Palestine, but to the workers in Latin America also. This is a day of solidarity with all workers, and Tierra Insurgente Intifada del Ard stands in deep solidarity with all workers. Compañera?
Antes de cerrar nuestra programación, esperamos que les haya agradado el programa de hoy, que hayan sentido el sentimiento de nosotros y esa que no es más que intentar estar más cerca de ustedes cada vez mediante las voces de diferentes compañeros en resistencia. Y con eso quiero decirles feliz primero de mayo. Primero de mayo, hoy celebramos el Día Internacional de los Trabajadores y Tierra Insurgente quiere levantarse en solidaridad y resistencia con todos los trabajadores del mundo, donde quiera que se encuentren, bajo las presiones políticas, económicas, sociales, culturales, raciales, a lo largo y ancho del globo, dentro de la panza de la bestia. Les mandamos un saludo caluroso y revolucionario, y que vivan los revolucionarios del mundo y que vivan todos los trabajadores revolucionarios del mundo. Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Se despide su compañera en insurgencia. Esto ha sido Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al Art, en la 103.3 de la FM. Los esperamos el siguiente domingo a la misma hora, a las 8 de la noche. No se olviden de sintonizarnos.